see.
On to more serious issues, the Royal Commission into Anti-Semitism and Social Cohesion kicked off yesterday with opening statements from both Commissioner Virginia Bell, SC, and Senior Counsel Assisting Richard Lancaster, SC, to talk to us about how the Jewish community has reacted to the opening day. Executive Manager of the Australia-Israel Jewish Affairs Council, Joel Burney's with us. G'day, Joel.
Good morning. Morning, as usual. How are you, Stephen?
Yeah, very well. What are your initial thoughts on the open? Because, I mean, it was only opening statements yesterday. They said nothing substantive, but are you positive, neutral, or do you have some concerns?
Well, I think that it's positive. As you say, it was a very ceremonial and procedural opening statement where nothing substantive was discussed. But I think that the public can take, look, this is not just an issue or a royal commission for the Jewish community, which obviously will be the focus, but this is in connection to something that all of Australia has gone through and suffered through and are victims of. So I think that it looks like you've got a safe pair of hands at the wheel, a very experienced commissioner, and also a very competent senior counsel assisting. So it appears as though that from yesterday's opening statements that Commissioner Bell understands some of the issues that are going to come up. I think that the Australian public can be confident of what happened yesterday.
Are you concerned about the overlap with the criminal trial of Naveed Akram, the alleged attacker at Bondi, or one of the alleged attackers, and the limitations that are going to play with regards to the evidence and the testimony that can be given at the Royal Commission?
There's no doubt it's a procedural limitation. So what I mean by that is that there are going to be problems associated with the Royal Commission going on concurrently with the criminal trial. Now, the difficulties that ensue from such a situation is just by circumstance. It's a timing issue and a chronological issue, not necessarily something that was purposefully there and intended to impact the Royal Commission. So in terms of concerns, I think that Commissioner Bell is going to, has a history of criminal law. She will understand exactly how the proceedings of the Royal Commission can be conducted without prejudicing the murder trial, sorry, the trial of Naveed Akram. So we wouldn't want anything to prejudice that criminal trial anyway. The overlap is one of those things that's just going to have to be worked out. But I am confident that Commissioner Bell knows exactly how she can keep the Royal Commission focused on what it needs to do without doing anything that would prejudice the criminal trial.
Joel, we had threats from some of the pro-Palestinian organisations out there that they were going to bombard the Royal Commission with legal challenges, etc. Commissioner Bell seemed to reference that in her opening statements and suggest that she's not going to allow that to become a problem. That must be give you a little bit of positivity moving forward.
Well, I think that the idea that certain people in certain groups in this country would use the Royal Commission as a vehicle to promote their own political and religious and nationalistic ideologies, I think it's a continuation of a rather pathetic behaviour that we've seen from certain groups over the past 2.5 years in this country. As I said in my opening remarks, this Royal Commission is pivotally important of finding out how we got off the track in this great country of ours and how we get back on track into that, that old school Australian style where it was everyone was open and free to do what they like but embraced the tendencies and the feel of our great country. And I think that over the past 2.5 years, all of us have suffered through the rah-rah and the yelling and the screaming, mainly on the streets of Canberra and Sydney, and Melbourne as well, over the past 2.5 years. So I think that the idea that these groups would use and manipulate the Royal Commission for their own ends really illustrates, the negative behaviour of those groups. But I am confident that from a legal perspective and a Royal Commission perspective, that the terms of reference are quite clear, and they will be the guiding force for the Royal for Commissioner Bell and also Senior Counsel Assistant.
Joel, with regards to those protests that you've talked about, we've seen severe vitriol over the last 2.5 years, but are you surprised that it hasn't been quelled since the murder of 15 innocent people? You would have thought that would have been a wake-up call, but it hasn't seemed to have stopped the animosity and the venom in some of these protests.
Well, this is where it's the pushback from the silent majority of Australians is that we clearly, and the overwhelming majority of Australians, do not want the importation of foreign wars into this country. And given the fact of how horrible the events of December 14th were and their obvious connections to what was going on abroad, you would think that fair-minded Australians would sort of, maybe be a little bit more quiet and more sensitive over the months that came after Bondi. But no, it doesn't surprise me that the binary nature of the pro-Palestinian movement doesn't allow them to be open to the care and consideration of others in this country. So it doesn't surprise me. What does surprise me, though, Stephen, is still the reluctance of law enforcement or the political pressure on law enforcement to not prosecute under the laws that we currently have. Mm. And the prime example is globalize the intifada. For any of your great listeners in the fantastic Australian Capital Territory, the globalize the intifada is a call to violence. Those that say that the intifada means shake it off, I can tell you that Grace Tame was not chanting, Taylor Swift, shake it off. She was calling for a violent resistance against Jewish people globally. It is a call and incitement to violence, which is currently illegal in this country. So if more people were actually arrested and prosecuted for the laws that we currently have, and I'm not talking about vilification laws or offence, I'm talking about actual calls or incitement to violence, they cross a clear legal line and certain people need to be prosecuted for it.
But that
does surprise me that after December 14th, yeah, go on.
Well, I was going to say, that's been the argument all along, though, is that it's all well and good to go back to Parliament and pass these new hate speech laws, but we haven't enforced the existing legislation for the last 2.5 years and beyond that.
Precisely, and I understand the tension with certain groups when it comes to vilification laws, and I need to reiterate, because a lot of people on the right still believe that they were passed during that emergency session of Parliament 6 or so weeks ago. They were not. They were not part of the legislation. But you're 100% correct that we have current legislation that the majority of Australians support in terms of allowing free speech that we have in this country, whilst also saying that the limit of that and the fair limit of that is incitement to violence.
Yeah.
To say globalize the intifada is black and white a call to violence, and I would hope that the authorities look more deeper into that, and you'll see more prosecutions on foot for that as well.
You made the comment about Taylor Swift lyrics a moment ago. One thing that I've noticed is a lot of these Palestinian activists are now wearing T-shirts, because there was a line in a John Farnham song a while back, from the river to the sea, clearly no connection to the, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free chance, but a little bit cute of them now to start wearing these John Farnham T-shirts and saying, oh, no, it's got nothing to do with that. We're just John Farnham fans. I mean, is anybody taking this seriously?
No, I don't think that they are, and I think that, to be honest with you, I think the country is just fed up, and they're exhausted by it all. They're exhausted by the chants on the streets. The retailers in downtown Sydney and members in Melbourne are exhausted by the lack of foot traffic. After 2 years of COVID that the nation suffered through, and then having to deal with this type of piercing and complete deterioration of our social cohesion, Aussies just want to enjoy their summer. They want to enjoy and get back to that that feel good country and nation that we know that we are. So I don't think they're taking it seriously, but I do think they're fed up. I do think that they're exhausted, and I just hope that the leaders recognise that we've lost our way a bit. We need to get back on track.
Joel, are Jewish Australians feeling any safer? I know we still have security outside Jewish institutions, whether it be synagogues or daycare centres or school, etc. But is there a sense that we've had a bit of a turning point and things are going to improve?
It's an interesting question. Unfortunately, not, because the overt anti-Semitism, especially what you see on social media, has not dissipated or been diluted in any way since the horrific events in Bondi. I can say I was in Sydney last week, and there is still a very significant and visible police presence outside synagogues and schools in New South Wales, but there is no such security reinforcement in our buildings in Melbourne, for instance. So, you know, there's an internal conversation in our community as to whether or not it's a good thing for us to have a visible police presence outside our buildings. But your great listeners need to understand that we need to have something that's proportionate to the threat that we have.
Yeah.
So, you know, most people don't know that when I drop my kids off at school, they have private armed guard security outside the very high walls that they have to go to school behind. But these are the daily, daily routines of the Jewish community. And unfortunately, I can't say that even though it's very sad to see police outside synagogues in Sydney, or I do think at this moment in time it's required. I think it's proportionate to the threat. And that is the true illustration as to how we really have lost our way here. And it should shock your listeners if they were unaware that nearly all Jewish kids that go to Jewish day schools are protected by armed security and have been for decades.
It's a sad indictment on our society. Joel, always good to talk to you. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Stephen.
Joel Burney, the Executive Manager of the Australia-Israel Jewish Affairs Council. It's 11 and a half to